Christian, how are you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. How are you guys out there in the internet lands doing? Be sure to let us know how you're doing in the chat. And Topher, how are you, buddy?
I am good. It's been a day. Let's put it that way.
Oh boy.
But it's been a good day. It's been a long series of days. But before we even get started, I want to mention that we are, of course, your No Rules Radio Show. We bring you the latest and greatest topics and sometimes controversial topics that you want to know. Happy birthday. Let's put that out there first. Christian turned 30 yesterday.
Yes. Thank you for the happy birthday, the big 3-0.
That's right, you old ass.
Yeah. Feeling pretty old, pretty bummed out, but I guess everybody keeps telling me age is just a number, just keep acting how you want to act, which I intend on it, but it doesn't change the fact that I have turned 30. It sucks.
Well, yes. You know, it happens to the best of us. I think I turned 30 last year, and, you know, it's been a good 30 so far, knock on wood. It's about time that you got out of your little baby 20 years and actually started living. Did you do anything fun and exciting?
Not really, no. It wasn't for my birthday. We just happened to go on a ski trip with some friends of my girlfriend's, friends of mine too, but I met them through her for the most part. Had a good time with them. Went snowboarding for the first time ever. So in that sense, I did something cool, but it wasn't related to the birthday. I was back here in Charleston by then. Just went out for coffee to my favorite coffee place with my girlfriend in the morning. Then we spent the rest of the day together just doing errands and stuff on the house. And then we went out to dinner that night to a new restaurant. So nothing crazy. It was nice and low key. And it was nice to get away for work for a while. You know, took some time off between ski trip and my birthday. And, right. You know, kept things under control. Nothing crazy. However, I do want to go out to eat with a group of friends at some point in the near future. It doesn't really have to be that close to my birthday, though. So keep an eye on that, sir. We'll be going out to eat, and we'll party and celebrate my birthday right.
I'm going to have to keep my phone on me at all times waiting for that little invitation of yours.
That's so right. You never know when it could show up.
Where did you get skiing?
In the mountains of Asheville, North Carolina, is actually a town
That's
called
right.
Mars Hill, which is right by Asheville. A place called Wolf Lodge. I don't know, something like that. So Wolf was in the title. And
did you stay in the lodge? Did you stay in the lodge?
We did. Well, sort of. They have a bunch of like condo style like houses. There was a big group of us, so we stayed in ones like two stories, had like three or four bedrooms, you know, pull-out couches. So it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of different people with us. You know, some people I knew well, others I was just meeting. It was cool because the place had like a pool table in the lower level, big screen TV, fireplace, big kitchen, a hot tub outside. So, you know, everybody was having a good time bouncing around, doing different stuff in the house, going skiing and you know, drinking a little bit at night. Nobody was out of control, thankfully. Nobody came home with broken bones. Everything turned out to be pretty good. It was a nice little resort. It was really quiet. And it was cool to be up in the mountains. You know, there's, you know, at night it's like pitch dark. You know, there's no street lights or anything. It's quiet. And it was a lot of fun.
Oh, excellent. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'd love to do that. I've never been snow anything before. I've never been skiing. That sounds like a lot of fun. I'd love to do that.
I'd never been skiing either, and for some reason I decided I wanted to snowboard, even though everybody kept telling me skiing would be easier. And it was actually, I was a little nervous, wasn't too sure how it was going to go, and I did okay. But, you know, for the first, like, you get off the ski lift, there's this, you know, fast area, a couple turns, I was doing awesome. But for some reason, when I got to, like, the main section where, like, all the trails come together, I just could not stay in the middle of the thing. I kept sliding down the sides and ending up in, like, ditches and getting all dirty. So I was getting pretty frustrated. So my my good job, you know, on that first part of the course was short-lived. Definitely, I could see myself doing it more. The best thing about North Carolina at this time, I mean, it was cold at night, but during the day it was actually not too bad. I was actually getting pretty hot wearing, like, some snow gear, and, you know, you're working out a lot more than you think you do. I severely underestimated how much effort and muscles are used when you're snowboarding or skiing. Everybody was so sore, like, we just did not think it would take that much out of you, but it really does. So it was fun. Mr. Burson, who is in our chat room currently, just got in here. He was there as well, so that was nice to be able to see him in person, which doesn't happen enough. And he was kind of the facilitator for us, taking pictures, watching out after everybody, you know, bouncing around at night to the different groups that were there. So, yeah, it was good. It was a lot of fun. I recommend it if you haven't tried it. For me, I only went, you know, the snowboarding route with them one time out of, like, the three or four everybody went, and that was enough for me. It just, cold is not my thing, so I was not going to join them at night, but during the day it was pretty fun.
Well, that sounds like loads of fun. That sounds like loads
of fun.
Good. Well, I'm glad you had a good time, and happy birthday again.
Thank you. And how was your weekend? Would you, anything interesting?
Let me do my little Weight Watchers challenge update here.
Oh, yeah.
So things are definitely going my way. I gained another loop on my watch, gained another belt loop. I actually think I'm ready to downgrade in jean size. All of my T-shirts
nice.
Fit well. And there's a jacket. There's it's from American Eagle. The jacket was like $300 that I bought when I first met Matthew. I was 21 when I bought this jacket. Oh, it's sexy. I'll have to take a picture of it and post it on our Facebook page. I'm actually able to fit into this jacket again. And it's amazing the amount of weight that has just kind of come off. And, you know, it's not Weight Watchers to the T. I'm not going to lie. You know, I've already had two beers, and I've had pizza, and I've had a salad. But, you know, it's a matter of, you know, what I'm, you know, watching what I'm eating and making sure that I get my vegetables and making sure that I drink all my water. And it's really just kind of, it's the weight is just really falling off of me just by changing little habits, not eating, you know, so much and making sure that, you know, when you are hungry, you know, grab either an apple or banana or, you know, carrot or celery, you know, just to kind of get those veggies in and drink more water than you think that you need. And the weight really just kind of falls off. So I'm down about, I'm not going to tell you how much I'm down, but let's just put it this way. A lot of the weight has kind of fallen off, and I think I'm
awesome.
Ready for a pair of size 33, 34 jeans. Let's put it that way. So,
great. That's amazing.
That.
Absolutely. You
very
should be. I know you've been doing a good job. You know, I had faith in you. I didn't know how well it would go. You know, I didn't know. I've never really known you to do, I don't think, since I've known you, maybe you have, but nothing that you've told me as far as dieting or trying to lose weight. So I didn't know what was going to happen. And, you know, it's been awesome. So congrats to you. And anybody else out there who may be doing the same, you know, keep it going. I know you and Burson should actually talk. He's done some – remember we did our New Year's resolutions? He was talking about not necessarily New Year's resolution, but he was going to cut out soda, sweet tea, which is a big thing, of course, in the South. And those were his two big things he was going to do. And he's done a couple other things, and he's saying the same thing about just, you know, losing weight, feeling better. Stuff like that. So I know he, even though he's not as vocal about it, he's doing something similar. So hats off to you guys. That's really awesome.
Well, that's awesome. Oh, that's awesome.
Oh,
he said he's lost about 10 pounds and much more energy. But that's kind of how I feel also. And I like it that I can wear a shirt and the shirt lays flat and it doesn't have this little pudge in front of it anymore. That for me is very exciting. It's very exciting.
Awesome.
This weekend was a lot of fun. Friday I went to my favorite Irish pub, Majorua, and I don't know if you those people in Charleston. I recommend that you go because it's one of my favorite places on the planet. Those of you who are not from Charleston, when you come into Charleston, there's two locations I recommend you visit, both of them. I'll be probably sitting at the bar with Matthew at the one in Somerville, which is probably about a mile and a half away from where I live. We did that on Friday. Saturday, we went to Folly Beach throughout the, with all the bad weather and everything. But it was amazing the amount of surfers that were there. And I thought that was – it was kind of interesting. You know, here's this huge storm off the coast. And, I mean, there was probably about – and I'm not lying. There was probably about 18 and a half surfers out there. And I say half because there – it was this one kid who was probably about 13, maybe 12, 13 years old, who was out there riding the waves just like, you know, he was one of these adult guys. It was very impressive. It was very impressive. He was not a midget surfer, but it was very impressive. He had his board, and he went out there. Apparently, you have to work out before you get in the water on a surf. I've never been surfing. It's something I've always wanted to do. But he, you know, he did his push-ups, he did his jumping jacks, and he did, I don't know what they call it, where you take your arms and you kind of swing them back and forth against your body and you open them up. I don't know what that is. And then he did, like, the shoulder curls. I don't know what that is. I don't work out at all, so I have no idea. But he was out there also on the, and, you know, the rain was cold. It wasn't like pouring down torrential rain, but it was definitely kind of coming down. And they were out there. I mean, they were out there for a good maybe 45 minutes to an hour a piece, and they just kept on coming. You know, one or two left, three or four would come in. So it was nonstop. And then on Saturday, we did NASCAR. I don't know if anybody has done NASCAR before in the past, but NASCAR is pretty interesting. If you've never done it before, I didn't go. I went. I watched it on television. It was the Daytona 500, I think it was. Anyway, it was my first time watching. I felt a little redneck. Nothing against redneck, but I felt a little redneck watching it. Normally it's football or it's rugby or soccer or something, but it was NASCAR. And we had, you know, sliders and stuff like that. Of course, I made sure that I took care of myself and that I was kind of watching what I was getting. But it was not bad. It was not bad. Everybody who was there kind of divvied up the players, and we put money down, and I lost $5. I didn't vote for Danica Patrick. She didn't win anyway. She was kind of a letdown. You know, they kind of hyped her up to be this big. Oh, she's going to be amazing. She's going to take first place, and she's going to go around the lap so many times first. I don't know what they call that, but they're going to do that. And it was interesting, to say the least. I think the exciting parts really when there was like car accidents and stuff. Oh, before I continue any further. I want to give my shout out to the people who were injured at the NASCAR race on Saturday. Apparently, one of the cars kind of rode up on the side, and like pieces of the car went flying, and the engine went flying into the audience. There was like 17 or something people that were injured. So I hope everybody's okay. According to the news, last time I read it, there was no major injuries. Everybody was just kind of an in and out thing. But I hope everybody is okay. Yeah. That was a big accident that I was talking about. They apparently the way that they do the cars nowadays, they don't nut to butt. You know, before it was flat on flat, the back of the car was flat, and the front of the other car was flat, and they were able to kind of push each other. But the way that it works now is that there's this space which ends up pushing the car in front of you and kind of does like this spinning thing. It was kind of impressive. And it's amazing how, you know, if the car gets hit, it just goes into like shatters. The car really just kind of explodes into thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces. So again, I hope everybody's okay. I did lose $5 in the deal. But overall, it wasn't a bad experience. It wasn't awful. Matthew was saying that he wanted to go to a NASCAR race, and I'm probably going to let him do that alone. It's not, Chris Burton's right, it's not the Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt Jr. type of thing. It's actually kind of fun. You know, if you think it's boring watching a car go around in circles for, you know, 200 laps, But it's really kind of interesting, and just the dynamics of it, and even like the commentators and the people who are, they do diagrams, and there was actually a science to it, which I thought was very interesting. I was kind of amazed on how, you know, there was actually technique, and there's aerodynamics and stuff like that involved. It was very impressive. And I think I'm a wiser person because I watched it, because it's something that I've never done before. And it makes me love the Disney Pixar movie Cars so much more. So there you have it. Real quick, before we jump into the actual show, we're going to have Jake Petlin come on the show. And I think he's still going to come on the show. I know we had a little bit of a scheduling error, but my goal was to have him come on the show this evening. So he might pop in at some point. So if you guys just kind of hang in there with us, hopefully he'll come on. If not, we'll get him on probably next Tuesday, if at all possible. But, you know, we'll see. And I want to, you know, say you can always catch Jake Petlin on Saturdays, every Saturday at 4. And we're always here on Tuesdays at 8 Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, the Uncensored Radio, Your Guilty Pleasure, is on Monday through Friday at 9. So I think Christian kind of jumped off the air. So I think I'm going to move right into the topic that I wanted to talk about while he's not here, was the Oscars. And I want to know what people's thoughts on where as far as the Oscars go. I watched a little bit of it. I really didn't watch it all. But I wanted to know what everybody else's opinions were. So if you guys are interested in calling in, you guys can call in at 323-417-6705. And if you want to talk to us, just press 1. Or if you want to just listen to us, you can call the same number and not hit 1. So there you go. And while we wait for Christian to come on here, I was very, very happy that Anne Hathaway won Best Actress for Les Mis. Argo kind of took the Oscars, which was impressive. I didn't know that Ben Affleck really had that in him. I knew that, I don't know. So my thing on Ben Affleck is very much like Matt Higgins. I don't know if you guys know, but he doesn't like Ben Affleck at all. He's kind of anti-Ben Affleck because he's just a really bad actor. If anybody has seen Daredevil, I'm pretty sure you guys would agree and relate. But, you know, it was a very good movie, from what I understand. So I think it was well deserved according to what people were saying. And so there you have it. Seth MacFarlane, I thought it was crap, and I think he needed to be a little bit, because he, you know, that's just who Seth MacFarlane was. He kind of dished out all the jokes. This is supposed to be very prim and proper and elegant and extravagant awards show, and it was nice to kind of see people knock down a peg or two, in my opinion. So I thought it was pretty impressive that he actually, you know, said what he wanted to say. But apparently, according to Online, he's not going to do it again. And I lost my co-host completely. Thanks, Christian. So if anybody wants to chime in, maybe Toko, if you want to kind of call in, and you can help me air this show while we wait for Christian to hurry up with his damn phone. 323-417-6705, people. I want to talk about Jennifer Lawrence. Is it only me that feels like she is a stuck-up bitch? Anybody? Is that just my thing? Yeah. I thought it was. I think she's just kind of stuck-up, self-centered. I don't think she takes her job seriously. I really feel like she is just kind of very blasé to the craft that's acting. You know, she made a statement once, I think it was in Advocate or Esquire, where she really said acting is stupid. And, I mean, then don't go up and accept an Academy Award if you think acting is stupid. And she was on the Ryan Seacrest show on the radio, and she was saying how, you know, she was kind of bitching and complaining about how it's so horrible that she has to get dressed up every day, and she has to go to all these award shows, and she has to do these red carpet things, and she has to do this, that, and the other, and she has to always wear her hair up, and she always has to do this, and she just wants to stay in her pajamas. Then bitch, don't act. I'm sorry. Ooh, who do I have in line? Toku?
Yep.
Oh, hey, how are you?
Good. I'm just trying to help you out here because I noticed Christian dropping out of existence for a while there.
Yep, I'm going to have to find a new co-host. That was kind of shit. did you watch the Oscars at all?
I didn't watch them. I wasn't really too keen on them. The only thing I was really interested in was what Seth did. But I do have to say that the only award that I believe was well beyond deserved was Adele's.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Ooh. I mean, seriously, that woman has some pipes on her, and she she busted them for that song. I mean, that was... She did really good. Kristen Stewart is always a hot mess. I don't give a crap what anyone says. She's just... I mean, seriously, she's just a hot mess altogether, you know?
Yeah. I was never even a fan of hers ever. And as she shows her little face, you know, here and there, I like her less and less. So... There's my two
cents as far as
that goes. It's not even
that for me. It's the fact that she can't fucking act. I mean, she... Oh, God, don't even... don't even say that, Chris Burston. Dude, seriously, that's wrong. If that happened, we'd have fucking hell on Earth.
Oh, God.
her and Lindsay Lohan. She's all... stone-faced in the passenger seat while Lindsay's fucking hopping on fucking pills and shit. She looks like she's fucking... I can see it. That's the scary thing.
So I have to say, I have a soft spot for Lindsay Lohan, and here's why. And let me explain before you guys log off. She's not the poster child for good acting. Let's put it that way. She's not the poster child for being a role model for young children. But I have to say, I fell in love with Lindsay Lohan through her music. She is actually quite a genius musician. If you can believe it, I don't expect you guys to, but if you can believe it, if you guys give her the time, she's actually quite brilliant. She's a really good songwriter. I don't know if she still has it, but she's had the pipes in the past for singing, and I hope that she does seek help. I know that she's looking for intense psychotherapy, and I hope that she finds it. But she's a great musician. She really has a lot to offer. I really just think that she has a fucked up family that really is just kind of leeching off of her and sucking her dry. And she can't do anything about it except, you know, resort to drugs and alcohol. And I just think that she's just a lost child.
You mentioned intense psychotherapy. I don't know how intense it can get, but honestly, in my opinion, I don't think it can get intense enough for her. I mean, seriously. If you think about it, what's she done in the past?
Right.
Hey, sorry, I'm Skyping in right now. That's what I had to do with my phone now crashed. So sorry about that, guys. Thanks for holding it down for me. What did I miss?
Nick's opinions about Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, boy, Lindsay Lohan. How do we get in Lindsay Lohan from the, looks like we were talking about the Oscars. How do we get that route? You know she was not at the Oscars. She was not available for anything.
Well, I mentioned Adele and her tearing up the Oscars with that song. I think that was really the only deserved award. She really deserved it.
Yeah, that movie was truly brilliant. It was very well done, and that song's kind of amazing. It gives you goosebumps, and Adele is going to be around for a long, long, long time.
I get that feeling too. She's going to become. I don't want to lump her in with the big names, but I do think she's going to become one of the big name divas that we know and we've known for years, you know, like Whitney Houston, Janet Jackson, that kind of caliber.
Right.
She has the talent. She has the singing capability. She has the production crew behind her. I can see her becoming a true diva, but not the bad kind of diva, but like the diva, like I said, Whitney Houston, Janet Jackson, you know, those kind of people.
Right.
That diva level.
Right. It's nice to see also a woman with some meat on her. You know, it's they've all been this skinny stick women, and, you know, Beyonce's ass does not count, but they've all been, you know, these
neither
very
does J-Lo.
Petite girls. Yeah, neither does J-Lo's. But it's nice to see somebody like, and I'm not comparing and I'm not insulting here, but like somebody like Aretha Franklin, who's a more of a plus size singer, have that kind of recognition and have the fame that Adele has had.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
and
nice to see that people are looking past the look of somebody and really starting to listen to, you know, who they are, you know, and their music, and listening to how brilliant and talented and amazing she is.
I actually do want to say, and if you guys want, I can stick on or I can drop out. I don't care either way. But I will want to say right now, personally, I hope that women take the example that Adele is making in being such a big-time name in the music industry, but yet not being Miss Twig.
Right.
And take it to heart, because to have talent, you don't have to be twig thin. You know, I know plenty of people, Allison being one of them in the chat room, who have a great deal of talent, but yet aren't like stick figures, you know? They're real
yeah.
people, real women, real, and they're not fake liposuction, titty job, you know? And I honestly don't like that. I don't like when women have to feel like they have to adapt their image to what everyone else expects.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
And
absolutely.
And you know what?
And
you're welcome, Allison.
You know, and Aishai Fan has said, you know, Diana Ross, Aretha Franklin, Tina Turner. I mean, yeah, these are women with powerful voices who had, you know, a little jump to the trunk, and that's okay. And I honestly don't think the music industry had a say in whether or not Adele was going to be a part of she. I mean, she essentially blew away everybody. She kind of just marched in and said, you know what, here I am, and you're just going to have to kind of deal with that. And
people just accepted
her.
And here's the thing that I like. She came out of nowhere. Literally out of nowhere. No one had ever heard of her. And then she comes out of nowhere and blows everyone away with rumors. You know? And it's just like,
well,
what
she
the
had,
fuck?
She had a song before. She had an album, I think it was called 21. And the song that kind of was her
rumor
claim
was
to fame,
on 21. I think it was 19.
It might have been
had.
19, where she did Chasing
and
Pavement. And I watched that video on VH1, probably at 6 or 7 o'clock one Saturday morning, and I fell in love with her. And I've been in love with her ever since. And this is
but,
talking
I mean,
4 or 5 years
really,
ago.
She didn't really mainstream, is what I'm saying. She's,
no,
you
it
know,
was not.
She was popular in Britain, where she's from, and, you know, that's expected. But to hit the American airwaves and be really popular, most people see you needing to have this thin, brick stick figure and auto-tuned voice, you know?
Yeah.
And she doesn't have any of that, and the fact is, when she was in England, she was doing awesome. But then she comes to America, and just like a bat out of hell, she fucking comes in, hits the charts, and people are like, whoa, what the fuck was that?
Exactly. Exactly. I have somebody else on the line. I don't know who's 6-7 or 763, but we're going to put you on the air.
Exactly.
Hello?
I have somebody else on the line. I don't know who's 6-7 or 763, but we're going to put you on the air.
Here's the show.
Hello?
2763. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you. You're live.
All right. I got it muted. Yeah.
No problem.
What can we do for you tonight? What's up?
Can you hear me?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, we can.
All right. Well, I just got in your blog thing. What were you guys talking about? I'd like to go off that.
Adele. We're talking about Adele.
Adele? Oh, I don't like her. She's kind of fat, you know?
Well, we're actually talking about the Oscars, and we're talking about how she won the Oscar for Best Song, and we were kind of agreeing that it was well-deserved. Do you disagree?
I've only heard one song from her.
Hmm. So you're not a fan?
I don't think I can agree with you, but is this just like a radio where you can talk about anything and everything goes?
Pretty much. Do you have something you want to talk about? Mike.
Can I talk about my life story? I just need advice on what to do.
Okay. What's up?
Okay, back when I was either 6 or 7 years old, it was first grade, and my mom went to a casino for the weekend, and she left me with my grandpa. And one morning when I woke up, he was touching me, and he died the next day. And that's just a memory that stuck with me every day since that was the last time I saw him. And ever since then, I've had these weird thoughts, like as soon as I wake up, about doing stuff to my little sister.
Has that been going on for a while?
That's been going on for about 11 years.
11 years. And have you talked to anybody about it?
No, I have not.
Well, I'm glad you're talking now.
But I know. It's just been on my mind too long, and I need to get it changed. But the one other thing that's been sticking with it, before that, when I used to spend a week at their house before I started preschool, he would always say incest is wincest. So that's like my motto for life, which I don't think is okay.
Well, you know, it's probably not. I mean, you haven't talked to your mother about this, or you haven't talked to a doctor about this?
No, I have not.
Is that something that you'd be willing to do?
No. Should I just keep the family tradition going? And when my children have grandchildren, no, that's a terrible thing to do. I'm sorry.
No, that's not what you should do at all. You should seek some help. You should really seek some medical help and really kind of talk about it and kind of get it out there.
Honestly,
and, you know, talk to somebody who's really certified and licensed to help you.
Honestly, me personally, no. I actually am with him.
What? You're with him?
Yep.
But you don't believe in him?
Well, I believe he exists, but I believe he exists in a different form personally. I believe he's the god of creation, and that's that. But that's my opinion, and that's not the opinion of Uncensored Radio or No Rules, Just Mike's. This is just mine. This is just Toku's opinion here.
Yeah. Well, buddy, I hope you get the help that you need. Thank you so much for calling in.
Wait, don't hang up on me. I listen to you guys every day, and I love you.
Okay, well, that was much.
Okay.
Wow. So there you have it. That was a little bit more intense than I was ready for.
Yeah, for real.
Wow.
The first day I decided to help you out, Topher, you get something like that on.
I hope he gets the help that he needs.
Sincerely do too. I can say from personal experience, portions of my family are really the least desirable. And honestly, if people don't seek the help that they need, they're going to repeat the behaviors that they've done in the past. I think Allison gets where I'm going with that, but I'm not going to go into much more detail than that, you know?
Right.
But, yeah. Needless to say, it's interesting what's gone on. So, thank you for the call, even though you kind of left us speechless.
Yeah. Christian, do we have you on the air still, buddy?
Yeah, man, I'm back on my regular phone now. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
So what the fuck? I leave you guys alone by accident, and that's what happens. We get an incest fake caller in.
You ditched us.
Oh, man.
You dropped out of nowhere, dude.
Oh, God.
I know. I made the mistake of doing a phone update in the middle of the show.
Give me 1 second, Tokyo. Hang on. Madison?
Hello? How's it going, guys?
Good, how are you?
Good, what's up, man?
What can we do for you?
It's a bit of a complaint, really. I mean, I've been listening to you guys for a while, and I just can't help but think there's a bit of underlying racism with what you talk about.
Racism.
He's right. You're right. We are racist. I don't know. I thought we were doing a good job of hiding that, but I guess you found us out.
Well, I do listen very hard.
Yeah, obviously. Do you have any specific examples? I mean, I'd love to hear which ones you realize.
Not really. It just seems you're a bit white power about everything.
Yeah, that's true. I can see how you could get that. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm calling bullshit on this one.
Yeah, I am as well. So, obviously, we've got some people having some fun with us tonight, and that's to be expected on internet radio, and that's okay. No big deal.
Bullshit. Okay. Well, damn, I don't even know where to go from here. Did you hear about Tim Tebow? Let's start there. Did you hear about Tim Tebow?
Yeah, absolutely. For those who weren't paying attention, Tim Tebow was supposed to speak at some church. You know, Tim Tebow's huge, you know, Christian, constantly talking about religion. He's supposed to be talking at a church that is well known to be anti-gay, and it's had some other issues throughout its history that are not exactly the best. So he caught some flack for having to do that, and of course, no surprise, he decides to back out. He says he backs out because, you know, the negative press. So it doesn't really say, like, he doesn't necessarily believe what that church was teaching. He just chose not to speak there. And that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way, but I thought it was interesting how he didn't make any kind of statement. And, you know, when I believe it's the Jeffries, when they were kind of attacking, he came back with no rebuttal. You know, it's the First Baptist Church of Dallas.
Yeah.
Who he was supposed to do a talk with, and he backed out of that. But I thought it was interesting. I'd like to see what kind of comes from this. You know, they say that he didn't back out, that he's just postponing it, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to think anymore. I know a lot of sports entertainers and you know, famous sports people are, you know, coming out in favor of, you know, gay rights and things like that. So I don't know. Tim Tebow has always been a religious guy, quote unquote, but I don't know. I'd be interested to see kind of what happens with that. You know, I think that people can kind of paint both sides of the fence. I really think that people can be a religious person, someone who does believe in, you know, the cloth and things like that. But I also believe that you have the ability to kind of think for yourself. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Christian?
Yeah, I mean, I know that's what Tebow's beliefs are. He doesn't hide it. He's never said anything controversial. You know, just that he's a Christian. He believes you know, the teachings and whatnot. He's never taken a stand against things like gay marriage or any of the controversial topics. I think in leaving, he was just doing so because it was bad press, but I really don't think that changes his view. I think he was perfectly fine speaking there and knew exactly what they stood for. He just didn't want to have the bad press. You know, he's, you know, I don't know how much people follow NFL, but after an unbelievable season that no one really saw coming, not this past year, but the year before, you know, he gets traded to the Jets, doesn't really have a good year. You know, the money, he's a millionaire, I'm sure, but, you know, you got to keep that money going, and the best way to do that is not to have some big controversy like that. He just stepped away, and that's all it was. So I'm glad he stepped away because you don't need, you know, people of that caliber, you know, going to a place that preaches hate. But at the same time, I don't think it was completely genuine, you know, as far as him backing out. It was just because of, you know, he was getting some bad press, and if no one noticed, he would have went right along with it. So I'm not going to give him too much credit for backing out of something that, you know, it's clear to me anyway what his actual reasonings were.
Right.
You know, and honestly, I'll say this right now. He's not – I saw Tim Tebow play, and honestly, I wasn't that impressed. He's – you know, to me, he's another Tony Romo. And don't get me wrong, I do – I am a fan of Dallas. So, yeah, that's a fault. But I do not like how all these people come into the league and say, oh – we're going to be great quarterbacks when they're not even that good. I mean, look, like I said, the aforementioned Tony Romo. He's a choke artist. He's a fucking choke artist.
Yeah.
You know, and from what I've seen of Tim Tebow's playing, he's pretty much the same way. When it comes down to clutch situations, choke. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
So that's just my opinion, though. But
I find it interesting, though, that you know, people in the sports world are becoming very vocal. You know, they used to be, and some of them still are, you know, some stupid jocks, and a lot of them get themselves into a lot of trouble, but a lot of them are really kind of standing up for something. You know, they're not quiet anymore, and I kind of find that interesting. You know, even Ben Cohen, who is probably my favorite person in the entire world, who does he used to do rugby in England and has since retired because he's doing a stand up against bullying campaign for bullying, primarily for the LGBT community. And I think that's amazing. His father was killed. His father was actually murdered from this group who was kind of just berating the guy in a bar, and when he left, they followed him out, and you know, they beat the hell out of him and killed him, and that's kind of where this is stemming from. So I really think that you know, the people in the sports industry are coming to the realization that you have a voice, and you have the ability to say something important, and it's just a matter of what they want to say. That's all.
I know personally, and I speak for Allison and all of AMC Press when I say this, we as a group, AMC Press, have been thinking about doing a no hate campaign shoot if we can ever get every one of our group together to do the shoot, you know, because we agree that no one should be discriminated against for any of their beliefs, any of their enjoyments, anything.
Yeah, I agree, and I've always been vocal about my thoughts and my support with the No Hate campaign. I mean, I've done photo shoots with them. I've donated money. I've donated my time with them, and I truly believe in that. And you know, a huge group of the Power Rangers have actually, you know, some of the former Rangers have actually done photo shoots, which I thought was really awesome. You know, in my opinion, I thought it was pretty cool for them to do that, and I think it was Karen that kind of spearheaded that forward. So, you know, I think it'd be really cool for you guys to do it. I really do. And you guys have always been huge supporters of me and Christian and the show, and you know, Uncensored Radio in general. So I think it'd be a really, really awesome thing if you guys were able to do that. I know they're touring right now, but you can go to their website. I think it's nohatecampaign.com, I believe.
Yeah, nohate8 instead of ATE dot campaign.com, yeah.
Correct.
We've featured some of their stuff on our show, you know, and we've stated, like, that lady who went off of Westboro Baptist Church, for example, and did the No Hate campaign. We gave her accolades for that because, yeah, it takes a lot of courage to get away from a cult. And that really is what Westboro is.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, but, you know, I guess I can't knock anybody for trying to do good in the world, you know? But there's something to be said about you are who you hang out with, you know, type of mindset. You know, I might be closed-minded in that thought process, but, you know, you found something in that group that appealed to you. You found something in that group that made you think. Yes, you found something in that group that made you, I mean, even join. But, you know, I don't know. More power to her if she has since, you know, stepped away. Christian, where do you fall with this?
No, I agree with you. I think you're right. There is something to be said for the types of people that you associate yourself with. But, that, you know, it doesn't mean that will stay with you forever. If you can step away and get away from bad influences and people that, you know, aren't exactly savory characters that you've hung around with, then, you know, that's fine. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody hangs out with the wrong types of people or does something they regret. And like you said, it kind of matters what happens in the end. You know, if you can get away from it, and like you said with this example, if you're able to step out and get away from it all, then, you know, that's all that matters.
Right. Have you ever personally been in with a group of people where you realize after a while you're like, wow, I don't belong here at all? You know, these people who were my friends, I now look at them and I'm like, I don't have anything in common with you, and I really just need to get away.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've certainly been there, and I think everybody has at some point in their life. You know, there are friends that everything was fine, but some people take wrong turns, or they get into things that you're not into, or vice versa. You know, I've definitely been there. I don't think it's as drastic as you're growing up as far as high school and things, but, you know, there's some people that I hung around with in college, or some people I hung around with after college that, you know, they seem like they're my best friends in the world, or that we always had a great time, but after a while you realize they're not the types of people that you need to be hanging out with. Yeah, I've certainly been there, and it stinks because, you know, there was something you saw in those people that were good and genuine, and there probably still is. It's just that, unfortunately, the bad or whatever it may be, you know, outweighs that good. And it's sad still to lose friends like that unless they've done something to completely wrong you. It's a little bit different. But if you're just backing away from someone because, hey, you know, we're not really on the same wavelength anymore as far as what we believe and what we do with our free time or whatever it may be, it's a tough thing to do. And that's why it's hard for some people to break away from stuff like that, even when they don't necessarily agree with what, you know, the group think is that they hang out with. It's tough. It's tough to break away from what you've known and people that have been there for you and that you've been there for through, you know, all their tough times as well.
Right, right. You know, I've had some people in my life that have been, you know, I thought they were great people. I truly enjoyed being around them. You know, I couldn't wait to go hang out with them. I couldn't wait to be around them. And then slowly but surely, I don't know if it was my own realization or if it was just, you know, the things that they did became more something that I did not want to be a part of, but it's really, really hard to break away from a group of people who you associated yourself so close with and then slowly start to kind of pull away because then you get that, you know, everybody just kind of staring. You're like, well, what's wrong? How come you don't want to hang out with us anymore? How come you're not coming out to this place or this place anymore? And, you know, for a long time I used to be a very quiet person. I used to say, oh, well, you know, just kind of make up excuses. I have since not been all that quiet, and I'll kind of tell you why I don't want to associate myself with you or with any person, but it was really hard trying to get out of that situation. They were into a lot of drugs, they were into a lot of that, and I I never did any of that. I never wanted to be a part of it. But it was one of those things where I knew that they did it, but I knew they were good people, or I thought they were good people. And it was difficult. It was difficult for me anyway to try to kind of move away from that, away from that group. I now have just I used to be really cool. I'm not cool anymore. I have just a small group of friends. I have a small group of people that I hang out with all the time, and I'm kind of comfortable with that. You know, I don't need 20 or 30 or 40 friends that I'm going to hang out with, and I don't need to go to, you know, downtown, you know, party until it's 2 o'clock in the morning anymore. I don't need that. I realized that, and those people are still good people, but they're people that I don't, you know. It's just, I think, you know, kind of time happens and you just kind of move on.
Absolutely. I mean, you and I are in the same boat. We live in the same town. We've had some of the same friends here and there, and we've had a lot of the same similar friends. So, yeah, I definitely get that. There's people that are, you know, still good people for the most part. Just because you don't want to associate with them anymore doesn't mean they're not good people. They're just, like you said, if they're into partying until all hours of the night and you're really just not into that anymore, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them, but it's just not what you're up to anymore. And that's not to say that, you know, for me anyway, I couldn't very easily fall back into bad habits if I did hang out with those people. So that's another side to it, too, is,
yeah,
they may be good people, and there may be nothing wrong with what you're doing, but if you know that's not something you want to associate with, you know, you kind of step back. But it's tough, you know, to stay away from people forever without, there's some great whistling in the background.
Oh, that's magic.
You know, I figured. No, but it's tough to tell people, like, hey, we can't hang out anymore and explain the real reasoning why without offending them, even if it's the truth.
Yeah, and it's hard because I'm pretty sure that you can relate that, you know, you may not want to hang out with these people anymore, but you want to the people who you don't want to hang out with hang out in the same kind of circles of people that you do want to hang out with, and then
exactly.
It becomes just kind of sticky. And it's like, oh, no, I don't want to hang out with you guys. I've got something else going on. Oh, I'm so sorry. And then, you know, a friend of yours invites you over to a party, and you go to that party, and you realize, oh, shit, these people are here. I don't want to be here. And I'm...
Exactly.
That's where, for me,
agree.
It gets tough and muddy.
It's just, I think, personally, there's a person that I cannot stand being around. I know for a while there, I was being all friendly and just smile and nod type of person, but nowadays, if I go around that dude, I'm just, no, honestly, the man I'm talking about has hurt quite a few of my actual friends in real life, and yeah, it's kind of one of those unpleasant situations where if I'm ever around him again, he may end up with a few issues coming down, you get what I'm saying? Because
yep.
I'm not a violent person by nature, but for certain circumstances, I tend to make little exceptions, that being one of them.
Right. I don't know. Did he, like, physically hurt your friends, or was he just kind of, like, emotionally, you know, fucking around with your friends?
He physically hurt one of my friends, and then he raped one of my friends while I was in the room.
Oh, no. Oh, that's fucked.
Yeah, I was asleep at the time, and he decided to try and, yeah, let's just not get into too many details, and needless to say, if I ever see the guy again, there's going to be hell to pay.
Well, I can understand why.
So, I'm sorry to put my personal baggage out there, but, you know, think about it. There's certain people in this world.
I think we're all kind of figuring that out.
Yeah.
No, personal
honestly,
baggage is good. That's what it's all about on this show. You know, being able to say whatever the hell you want. And that, I don't blame you for feeling that way about that person. That's one of the lowest scums in the world to do stuff like that, for sure.
Honestly, my uncle's another one that if I ever see him again, he's not going to like the reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That does suck.
So.
That does suck. I don't know. I just think that everybody needs to love each other and be good people to each other. I do want to first off and say I'm sorry about the crank calls that we got. What do they call it? Is it phone bombing or blog bombing or something like that? That one guy was. Hopefully he gets the help that he needs. That was a bit much for me anyway.
I think we got 4chan just like Guilty Pleasure did that one time when the dude was talking about wanting to get with Katrina.
Everybody wants to get with Katrina. I mean, have you seen Katrina?
Yeah, but I mean, he was talking very explicitly, like, as he was talking about all the stuff he would do to her. You know, I remember that episode, and it was just one of those episodes where, actually, it was a Friday episode.
Yeah, I was probably absent that day. I don't remember that at all. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that stuff happens when it comes to internet radio. You got to be prepared for it. And hopefully you guys in the chat didn't think it was too bad. I thought it was somewhat humorous, and I was trying to play along with that one guy, but whatever. Hopefully we'll continue on with our awesome listeners. We greatly appreciate all of you. You know, Allison, Burson, iShy fan, Johnny, who we've seen here quite a bit, Dory, who we've seen in here a couple times. Those of you listening but not typing, we also appreciate you listening. Toku, of course, who stepped in when I was having some phone problems. We had a disaster, a train wreck of a show today, and we thank you all for sticking with us, that's for sure. And Toku, thank you, and Topher, thank you as well for hanging in tight. Not that I know you could very well handle a show for 2 hours by yourself, so I knew an hour was going to be okay if I couldn't get back on there. But I appreciate everyone, so thank you.
That's
hey, it's no problem.
I'm glad you're able to get back on.
An hour every day, so it's not like it's anything new for me to be on a radio show. So,
right.
You know.
Well, thank you, Toby, so much for coming on the air. I really do appreciate it. We're going to wrap it up here.
Yep.
Have a good one, buddy.
I'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Okay, and that was the fantastic and always vocal Toku. As you guys know, we are going to wind up the show. You guys can always follow us on our social media sites. You can follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/norulesjustmikes. You can catch us on Twitter at the same thing. And each of our handles, I'm itopher2 and Christian's SENG225. And if it's his birthday yesterday, that's what the 225 stands for. And you can always see us on the website, which is myuncensoredradio.com. And we have the Guilty Pleasure coming up in just a couple of minutes, but you can always catch them at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, and the Jake Pentland Show Saturday at 4. Christian, you got anything else, buddy? That guy kind of wore me out. Like, I feel like I need a therapist.
I'm a little worn out as well between frantically trying to get back on the air and my phone just acting up and the callers. I'm all out of sorts, but that's okay. And that's what happens with live radio and, you know, it's just another step along the way. I'm excited for next week. Hopefully we can get the ever-busy Jake Pentland on. I know he's had a big few weeks with his own show, especially a couple weeks ago. I'm excited to talk to him. I know we've got some other stuff lined up. We still have an author we may be speaking to in the future. And, you know, we're just going to keep it going strong. So, no, not much going on. I appreciate all the birthday wishes and everybody again for tuning in. Thank you very much. Don't forget, I don't think Topher mentioned it, but you can email us as well if you want to let us know anything about upcoming shows, norulesjustmikes@gmail.com, comments, things you want to bring up, want us to bring up, whatever it may be. And we're here every Tuesday at 8 o'clock, and we appreciate those of you who have checked in and stayed with us here over these last few weeks.
That's right. All right, we're going to turn it over a little early to Uncensored Radio, guys. Have a great night. Thanks so much.
Later, everyone.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
We say and what we want, give it to you nonstop. When it plays anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Uncensored Radio. We are are your guilty of pleasure. I am one of the co-hosts, one of the three fabuloso people. And my name is Karen Ashley, and we've also got Jeffrey Emmett in the house. Jeffrey, how are you doing? Jeffrey? Where is Jeffrey? Topher?
Oh, dear. You know that thing that happens when I forget to unmute my phone?
Oh, there you go. I was like, what the hell? Am I by myself? I'm alone.
No, I was just sitting here talking to myself as normal. You know how I like to roll.
Exactly. That's all right. And then we also have Katrina Johnson. I don't know if she's here yet. Katrina, is she around? You know what? But she'll be joining us. You know Katrina. She's fabulous. She's always fashionably late. And fashionably is the key word in that sentence. So how's your day, Jeffrey? How's it going?
It was great until I ripped my thumbnail off.
How did you do that? That just disgusted no end.
It's horrible. And you know how I feel. Like, I'm horrified if I break a nail. Well, I tore one, girl, and I went to get up off the couch, and it snagged on the couch, and it ripped, like, halfway down my thumb. I was traumatized and screamed, and it was just horrible.
Oh, well, it sounds horrible. That is, like, the worst thing you possibly can do. So I'm so sorry that happened to you. I really am.
You should be.
I don't know how to make it better. I'm sorry. I don't know what to say to you at this moment.
You can send me some money so I go get me some Lee press-on nails.
Well, what I can do is I can tell you that I'm confirmed for yet again another convention. So it sounds
I don't know who did that.
I don't know either. Somebody is signing me up for all these conventions, but it looks like my month of August is pretty jam-packed. Do you want to announce the new city that we're adding to the travel list this summer?
Oh, God. sure. The new city is Houston, right? It's Houston?
Yes. I'm going to Texas, not really home because I'm from Dallas. I'm from Odessa, Texas, but I grew up in Dallas, so kind of a different area of Texas. But Houston, Texas, the Space City Con, I will be there August 2nd. Very exciting. And then the next weekend, I'll be in New Orleans. And then the next weekend, I'll be in Atlanta. So it looks like I'm doing a whole down south tour.
Well, you have like a week break in between.
I do. But the whole month of August is
pretty good. But I'm working on that.
I know. I don't know if I could. I don't even know if I could take another convention. Like, that would be traveling 4 weeks in a row.
Every weekend.
That's a lot. Every weekend.
I'm sorry, bitch. We trying to make paper. We ain't got no time to be resting. You got to travel. I don't care. I'm sorry. We're trying to book some money away so we could go on vacation. So I'm sorry. You might have to travel that one weekend you thought you was going to have off.
And we're officially on a countdown to Lexington. Lexington Toy Con. Gosh, these names. Lexington Toy Con is in about 3 weeks. March 16th, 15th through the 17th, right? I think so.
Yeah.
It's going to be on and popping. I mean, I will be there. Jeffrey will be there. Joey's going to be with Jeffrey. It's going to be fabulous. So, yeah, we're literally on a countdown. It's about to go down.
We're going to be causing havoc. I can't wait.
I know. And there's been a lot of people that are going. Like, it's really actually kind of cool. I was with Blake this weekend. We did his new headshots. And Blake will be there, Blake Foster, as well as Catherine Sutherland and David Yost and Jason Frank. And I think that's all of us, right? I mean, there might be somebody else. But it's like every day they're adding new Rangers. So it's very exciting.
It is. Like, and I'm excited because, well, actually, I'll have time to kind of not work. So we make it to, like, do dinner or something, and I want to see who out of the group I'm going to be able to get drunk and, like, act the wildest.
I know. I don't even know. I can't even tell. I think the only person who drinks out of that bunch might be Catherine.
Wow.
She might have a glass of wine.
I love that you were like,
the guys drink. Like, they're so health conscious and so, like, you know.
I have been told I'm a horrible influence across the country.
That's true.
So, I have to see if I can live up to my reputation. If anything else, Catherine may miss the last day of the convention because I got her a little too drunk.
You know what, though? That would be payback because she got me a little too drunk when we went to Sacramento. And I basically did lose the whole last day of the convention. Like, I had to go and, like, literally go take a nap at one point. Like, I just could not take it. I was throwing up everywhere. Like, I threw
really?
Up all over. Yes.
I can't
her,
see Johnny, you.
Her, Johnny, Steve, and Walter were just fine. But they consumed more alcohol than me.
Oh, you are a lightweight. Cause at one time, in LA, you had like one drink, and you were like, da 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 da.
Yeah, I'm such a lightweight, and I didn't eat. So it's like, I gotta eat. I gotta like do the whole shebang. Like, I gotta eat. I gotta drink. I gotta eat some more. It's like, it ain't going down. It ain't gonna be right if I don't do it. You know, I just can't take it. I'm not a partier. I lost my edge, Jeff.
I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you. Damn it.
I don't know that I want to learn that, though. I don't want to learn that. I'm not sure.
It's okay sometimes to let you weave down, girl.
Gosh. But I kind of like my weave to be like, you know, I don't really know that I want it to be down.
Well, girl, I could tell you whose weave was down last night.
Who?
Everybody on Dallas.
Oh, Dallas. Okay, so it's Tuesday. You guys know Dallas Review is on Tuesday. It's what we do. I'm sorry if you don't like Dallas. We love it. Oh, well.
And if
okay.
you're not watching, you need to watch. And then you need to write letters to TNT and tell them how much you love
right.
it. Just saying.
Yes. And this is the thing. I mean, JR, his last episode is next week.
It was kind of this week. Like, he was dead.
Yeah, he's...
when they filmed this episode, because they were just using stock footage. And my mother's
yeah.
like, what's that? I'm like, oh, God.
Uh-huh. I know, but this is the thing. Okay, so if you haven't been watching Dallas, you know, obviously, Bobby's wife, he shot her ex-husband because he stole her baby, and then she found out that she thought she was dead, but the whole time he stole her, she was on trial. And she basically got convicted of attempted murder because she did walk into his house and, like, shoot him. Like, it was such a great episode. But they really showed how, you know, this guy's a snake. Like, I was so happy when she got off. I was so happy.
Oh, so you did watch? I didn't know if you had caught it yet.
No, I watched it. I'm Monday
okay.
nights. I'm making sure that I'm home. I'm, like, rearranging my schedule for that show. That is,
I have
like,
a technical.
Those are the only ones.
I have a technical question for you. I caught up on an episode of Scandal, and it was fabulous. But I missed one, so I'm pissed because, it, like, you know, they only have, like, four or whatever on demand. So I'm mad that I missed one. But I noticed Dallas was looking a little funky.
Right.
No. Like, they're filming differently.
I just heard a girl's laughter. Was that Katrina Johnson?
That was me. Yes, because I always laugh whenever Jeffrey gets pissed. That's the way he says I get pissed. And I know he's getting pissed, but he's getting pissed over a show, and it's funny.
Right.
Well, it is, because they're now filming in digital. Like, it's horrible.
Right.
Like, you can see, I can see, like, I totally, the whole episode I'm bitching, I'm like, do you guys see a difference? Can you tell there's a difference? It looks lower quality. Can you see the difference? And then they're like, what? And then finally Joe's like, oh, yeah, I can see it.
Well, you need to turn that 3D off. You don't need to watch Dallas in 3D.
I wasn't watching it in 3D, but it looks like shit. I hate stuff filmed digital. It just looks like crap.
Well, that's what we shot our reality show in, so what are you saying?
Well,
hey,
girl,
to you, boo.
I've already said these things. I've never liked it. I will never like it. No, I'm just not a fan. I think it looks like shit. It just, to
Jeffrey's
me, it looks low
prima
budget.
Donna.
Yeah, he is. He got
TV. I think the reality show's a little bit different. It's low budget,
yeah.
But a fucking television show, and then they just switch it out of nowhere? Like, how are you going to switch
right.
and think I'm not going to notice? All of a sudden, you got all these close-up shots. The lighting don't look right. People's face look horrible. I can see Linda Gray wrinkles that I couldn't see last week.
I feel like CBS does need to up the quality because this is Dallas. This is not like.
Did you notice?
But this is cable TV Dallas 20 years after it was popular. It's not primetime Dallas. There's a difference.
Like, Dallas was luxury. Like, the one thing I don't like, I like all the sets, but I don't like South Fork. Why does South Fork seem like it's just somebody's house? Like, it doesn't even seem lavish. seems little. It's like ugly.
That living room was
decorated.
Tiny.
Like, it's not even decorated nicely.
The kitchen's a cool part, but, like, the living room they were in when they were all being held hostage,
oh,
I was like, really?
Horrible.
The size of that house?
Like,
and then did you see when they were panning over the pool? It was dirty.
Mm-hmm. It looked like
I was like, oh, my mother's like, what? I'm like, the pool. Did you see the dirt?
Well, you know, they said the one lady who's supposed to be the maid, who's like the mother to the girl that is messing with John Ross or whoever, like, they said she was out of town, remember? So maybe
the maid. That's got nothing to do with the maid. That's got to do with the actual property itself. Like, and it
yeah, but the maid was out of town, so they didn't have nobody to clean the pool. Jeffrey.
Girl, the maid don't clean the pool. The pool boy cleaned the pool. And it wasn't that. It's the cement on the bottom is, like, stained, dirty. Like, are you kidding? That place is like a museum. Clean that fucking shit. And if they can't handle it, they can pay my ass. I will come down there, empty that fucking pool, and scrub the bottom. I can't stand that. They're so rude looking.
It's just they're not, like, TBS is not spending the time, or TNT is not spending the time to make
it last.
But
it's not TNT. Like,
that's
actual, that South Fork is an actual property. It's like a museum or whatever.
I know, but it's really old. Like, it's not really
so you can't afford to clean the pool?
When you get there, it's not. But I don't think that that's really shooting on South Fork. Like, I think that's, like,
no,
the
they are.
They modeled after it.
No, girl, they're shooting on the actual property.
Oh. Well, they need to redo that. They need to redo the whole thing. Because it's not pretty. Like, I used to think that Dallas, that house was so pretty. Like, it was rich. Like, they were rich.
Oh, I don't think the interior is the actual property, but the exterior is.
That's a set. But I'm just saying, like, the interior, like, the set design, like, they need to make it look more rich. How am I supposed to believe that these people have tons of money?
Well, apparently they don't, because they're always struggling for some kind of dough.
They're always stealing money from each other, or stealing everything from each other. That's why I don't understand, Katrina, why you don't like Dallas, because it's such so much drama. Like, they're always stealing somebody's man. They're always stealing somebody's money.
I know, and I tried to get into it, and the stuff you're talking about sounds like I'd totally be into it, but
I don't
believe that you tried.
I think you're lying.
I Googled it both at my house and at King Blowhole's house. Like, I've Googled at multiple houses. I've tried. I just get bored. It starts off a little too slow for me.
I think you're lying. I don't believe you.
So
what's
a favorite show of yours? What do you like to watch? Like, when you
The Housewives, because it's everything you just talked about, but real.
It's not real. It's fake. Oh, my God. That's like saying our reality show is
no,
real.
No, but it's real people. Like, I know that Adrienne Maloof divorced her plastic surgery husband that she doesn't really like, and I know that she's dating, what's that singer guy's son? Is it Rod Stewart's son I think she's dating now, and he's like half her age, and it's supposedly Cougarville going on, but I know that's happening in real life, so when they talk about it on the show, I think it's great, because I know that's actually happening. And I like when these bitches get together and just fight and pull out each other's dirty laundry. I like that. It's like this show, but on camera with way more money.
I don't like the fact, like, I don't know who would date Adrienne Maloof, because she's not very, like, her plastic surgery is not very good.
Well, you know, I used to really love her, because the first season she came out as a total class act, smart, successful, classy, got it together, but she seemed like a good person. Besides being a family-oriented woman, she seemed like she managed to do it all. But nowadays, she's caught in lies, and I just think that she's a bad person now. You know, well, for instance, in the first, no, maybe second season, the Maloofs and Camille Grammer get together at the white party and kick out Taylor and her husband Russell.
Yes!
And they say, you know, friends don't sue friends. They can't come to the party. They can't hang out. What, are they going to sue all of us? And they get there, and Taylor's like, well, he didn't sue you. He just sent a letter saying that if you carry on the way you're carrying and you do defamation of character, there will be a lawsuit. It was a letter threatening a lawsuit, not an actual lawsuit. Well,
it was an email.
Right. But since then, the Maloofs have done that to Brandy.
Right, with a lawyer. The lawyer sent the letter.
Absolutely. Like, it's legit. They've done exactly that. And they're saying, oh, no, no, I never sued you. You're lying. What are you talking about? That's fake. That's fake. Well, then Brandy brings the letter and shows it to them.
Yep.
And they're like, that's not a lawsuit. That's a letter talking that there will be one if you don't stop talking. You know,
right,
so
they're shady,
exactly, and they're dirty. And the first thing that came out of Adrienne's mouth when she heard what Brandy said, all she said was, ooh, that's going to be a big, fat lawsuit. That's the first thing she said. So you're a hypocrite and a liar, and you're shady, and now I don't like you because I've lost all respect for you.
Well, you know what? You're not the only one who's lost all respect for her, because they're actually looking. She's announced, I think it was last week, that she's not going to be on the next season. And then basically what they did was they kind of gave her the opportunity to save face because they were recasting her. And so before she got recast, they gave her an opportunity to go, oh, I don't want to do the show anymore. So she's off the show.
Good, because she sucks. Well, also, she was boycotting, so we didn't get to see anything. And, I mean, the only parts you really like of her are when she's showing off her money, but then she's not nice to anybody anymore. She's not an actual friend to anyone.
Right.
So it's annoying because she just looks like a rich, mean girl. I don't like that.
Exactly.
You know, like, I don't just want to watch you being rich and picking on people. That sucks. If you're smart... And you're verbally, you know, going back and forth, and you've got an intellectual banter going with someone. I like that, but not if you're just going to throw around your money to beat up the little guy. I'm not into that. And so she's unlikable, and I get that they had to get rid of her, and I'm glad. Plus, she's no longer a housewife. I mean, she got rid of her husband.
You know,
not that she ever was a housewife. But,
none of them are really, like, it's weird, but I don't think being married is, like, a qualification. But another person that they're replacing next season is Taylor. They're actually getting rid of Taylor.
Yeah, Taylor's a disaster. She's not rich anymore. She's only in debt, and she's a basket case. She's boring, and everything is all about me, 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 me. I mean, they should have gotten rid of her this season, but they couldn't because they wanted to deal with the death of her husband that took place on the show. So,
it's almost non-existent, though. Like, she hasn't really, like, she's kind of talked about it, but it's more about she's talking about herself. Like you said, it's more me, me, me.
It's awful. I mean, I talk about myself all the damn time, so I get how annoying it is to other people. But, I mean, at least, I mean, I hope I try and say some interesting stuff and talk about someone else intertwined in there once in a while. But, man, she's just annoying.
Yeah, well, you know what I will say? That's one of my favorite housewives, Miss Lisa Vanderpump. They announced yesterday that she's going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Good for her. I love her. I love that whole family.
I may have to watch, because she's so funny that I think she's going to be actually really funny on that show. Like, to see her have to go through the rehearsals and dance.
She will be
my
favorite.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and I'd like to see her move. I mean, I'm sure she's going to be a little, probably more old lady-ish than some of the young ones, but she's hot. She always looks amazing. I wish I could, if I could have any Hollywood closet, it would be her.
Yeah. And I
even though she doesn't have pink dresses, it would be her.
She's going to be sassy, too. So you know those dance moves. She's going to be like, I think she's going to be really good at it.
I love her. Yeah, I want to be her when I grow up. I'll develop a fake accent like Madonna if I can be Lisa Vanderpump when I grow up.
So, Jeffrey, you're super quiet, so I'm assuming you don't watch The Housewives.
No.
Jeffrey is more like a housewife than all of us. So, Jeffrey should really watch. You should watch, Jeffrey, because you can relate to most of it, I'm sure.
No.
I think that you would actually love The Housewives if you watched it. Like, it's good. It is juicy.
It's so juicy.
What do you not like about it? Because you were so shut off to the idea. What did you like about the Power Plays happen, but for real?
Right. It's the same shit that happens on Dallas, but it actually, like you said, it's for real. It's real people.
Okay, well, so more importantly, up? I just looked up who is on Dancing with the Stars this season,
okay,
and I'm not really seeing any stars.
Okay, go over the list, because I only heard about Lisa Vanderpump. I didn't care about any others.
Okay, Shake It Up star Zenda Coleman, Indigo Reitzmeyer of General Hospital, Jacoby.
You got to know how to, like, pronounce these names. Like, I'm not
no,
getting, like,
if you just call the General Hospital
the kid who plays
Jack
from General Hospital. I don't know who the other bitch is. She's from Shake It Up. I don't even know what that is. Boxer, Victor.
Her name is Zendaya.
Okay, nobody cares. Boxer, yeah. Victor Ortiz, I don't know. Kelly Pickler, Winona Judd, some Olympic gymnast, Allie something or another. Your girl there from the Housewives, D.L. Hughley, Andy Dick, and Dorothy Hamill. Are you kidding?
Oh, I know who most of those are.
I don't know
the boxer or the Olympian, but I know who a lot of them
Ortiz?
Are.
Ortiz? You know who Ortiz is?
Wait, who?
Ortiz.
Like, as in Tito Ortiz?
I think. Is it Tito Ortiz?
No.
Jeffrey? Who is it? Victor Ortiz.
Victor Ortiz. I don't know him, but I'd probably date him.
Yeah. Well, that is a pretty mediocre list. And
but
I don't know
how they are.
I don't know how they feel like they're going to raise the ratings, because you know Dancing
Listen.
With the Stars has been flipping for years.
It's not always stars. It should be called Dancing with the D-List.
Right.
Because it's not actual stars. And I remember a friend of mine, one of my best friends, was telling me, my publicist said I should be on Dancing with the Stars. And I just laughed at her and I go, bitch, don't you think you have to be a star for that? Like, who are you? But now that I'm here on the list, I'm like, oh, well, maybe she could do it.
She could be on Dancing with the Stars.
No.
Oh,
I never thought, like, why do you even have a publicist? But now that I'm hearing these names, well, I guess it makes sense.
I don't know. I wonder who that person is. Jeffrey's favorite person in the whole world.
I got nothing.
Dancing with the D-list.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, that's for sure D-list.
I personally would like to have all the fans write in and tell them you want to see Karen Ashley or Katrina Johnson on the show, because I would love to see you two out there dancing every week. It could be a
treat. I'd win that competition. I'm a good dancer.
And frankly, though, because it's me telling the fans to write in, I expect 10%, Karen.
Oh, here he goes. I knew that was coming. I was just waiting for the...
I already offered to give him 10%. I've never offered to give him shit. I'll give you a copy to the video of what goes on in my hotel room, Jeffrey.
You should offer 10%. I'm just saying, Katrina, I've got 3 conventions in August. He just booked me on another one.
I'd much rather go to a convention as a customer and go get drunk with the crew.
No! I'm telling you, Jeffrey's resourceful. He's sober, like, he's bringing money into the home.
he's always telling me ways to make money, but they usually involve getting naked.
He's negotiating deals. Like, he literally got the deal negotiated, and he just presented me with the contract.
That's good, but...
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Send me my check, girl, because Mama needs a new pair of shoes. You know what's horrible? I'm so bad. I truly have a shopping addiction. OneSaleADay.com, like, I now have an app for it on the iPod or the iPad. And I'm, like, sitting here like, shit, I overspent by, like, $500 this week because I didn't realize little Shane had already given me her rent money. So... I'm thinking, I got, like, that money coming in. No, I don't. And then what did I do? I, like, bought some shit on onesaleaday.com.
And then there's
today,
that
like,
$650 that you offered up to that bride friend of mine last night.
Oh, yeah, I get that covered. I could let a bitch borrow some money for a week, but I'm just saying, it's going to impede my shopping habit.
Oh, man. Well, what did you buy at One Sale a Day?
The list is kind of too long.
See, when I'm online shopping, I buy purses and shoes all day long. Purses and shoes and fake eyelashes.
No, all I know is that Jeffrey Emmett sends me a text and is like, I need you to send me those pictures of us we took in L.A. at the photo shoot.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I want to make them into canvases.
What?
Yes. You know the pictures where we're, like, laying on the ground and we're, like,
yes.
You know, people see no evil. And then we're just laying there smiling. He wants to make that into a canvas to put in his living room.
No,
I'm
just going to put it in my office.
That would actually be really cute. That would actually be really cute.
Well, it's great. It's
pictures.
It's over. It's like...
Saturday.
It's like freaking 200 and like some crazy odd dollars for two of them, and with the that one's actually on Groupon, and with that you're only paying $59, where it's like almost $300 to get two of them done. So it's like, well, I'm gonna get one of the dog, and then I might as well get that extra one for $10 more. So
oh,
I was
great.
Like, that's why
yeah,
I did.
Great.
I'm
gonna put us up there with the dog.
We're the consolation to the dog.
Well, I had to, like, I couldn't be like, Joe, I bought a Groupon for the picture of us and the thing. So I had to tell him it was for the dog first and us second.
That's cute, though, actually. I respect it.
Yeah. Well, Joe's going to put us second to the dog? What's up with that?
It happens, girl.
I thought we bonded when he was here. When I introduced him to In-N-Out, I thought I was in.
Listen,
oh,
we bonded,
kidding?
But we're not on the same level as Izzy LaRue, his baby.
When the show first started today, and I said, you know, you got to do all these conventions, and you have to take that extra one so we can make money and go on vacation. He was like, I thought you said it wasn't a vacation. He didn't understand that I was talking about an actual vacation.
He's starved for life now. He doesn't believe you about a work trip
right.
Versus vacation versus honeymoon. I get it.
Right.
I feel bad for you guys.
Yeah, but here's
lots
the thing. I didn't invite him to the other one.
Oh, that's even worse.
Well,
yeah.
I got to work. I ain't got time for play. Okay. Hey, did you guys hear about the hot balloon crash?
No.
It's like in Egypt or something. Yeah, Egypt. 19 people died because it caught on fire in midair and then plummeted to the earth.
What? How do
you
have 19 people in a hot balloon?
I guess it was a big basket.
Oh, my God, it's a horrible death. That is a horrible
mm-hmm.
death. I don't know that I've heard a death worse than that. Can you imagine being like a couple hundred
feet off
the ground?
Here's the fucked up thing. Is right now, I'm watching the video.
Jeffrey!
Well, it sounds
like,
kind of...
It's on AOL News! It warns you that it's a little crazy.
You went to Disneyland and got run over by Donald Duck. That's kind of funny.
Oh, my God.
Like, you just see it go on smoke, and then, like, the balloon disappears, and the basket shoots down.
Can you imagine, like, all of a sudden you're in a balloon, you're like, oh, my gosh, how beautiful. Then it catches on fire, and you're, like, trying to put it out, and then the fire just takes over, and the realization is, this thing is about to burn. And then you're like, oh, my God, we're dropping, and then boom. That's a horrible death. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm going to say a prayer for them. That's awful.
Mm-hmm.
No survivors, obviously.
I'm checking right now. It came down in farmland.
I would never get on anything
like
that.
No, they were all dead.
Kind of.
It was, they were really, like in the video, they looked like they were really high up.
I would totally go on a hot air balloon with Karen because she's afraid of heights. And if the fire got out of line, she'd just throw up on it and we'd be fine.
Right. I know, you'd land at my throw up.
That'd
my
be
throw
totally
up would cushion our fall.
Fine. Yeah, but like you could put out the fire with your puke and that would be perfect. We'd all live happily ever after.
Right, especially if I was drinking the night before, because, like, when I went to Sacramento, I didn't know that I had the ability to have, like, projectile vomit. So I could projectile vomit and, like, put the fire out.
Oh, girl,
perfect.
There's some bullshit. Get this. So, where did I go? They said that the fire had begun in the pipe linking the gas canisters to the burner. Said it was an accident. So deaths were caused by burns and injuries sustained in the fall. A doctor at the hospital said where the injuries were treated. The pilot survived by jumping from the basket.
Wow. He's a jumper.
Like, the fucking pilot, bitch, you're supposed to stay with your shit.
Right, you're supposed to bring me with you. I'd be like, come on, everybody jump. 1, 2, 3, go. Like, you're supposed to leave your people there.
Oh, my gosh. Why? He's not a Marine. It's not no man behind.
Ugh. I thought when you wear the name pilot, you're supposed to have that mentality, though.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, they have the mentality. Drank, worked the bar.
Wow. That is a horrible, horrible death. Like, I can't even imagine. 19 people, I think that was an overcrowding issue. Like, I didn't even think 19 people could get in.
No, it was the pipes were leaking, girl.
Wow. Oh.
I'm trying to get a date so I can clean my pipes.
Oh, God. Well, you got Team Blowhole. What's up with that?
I have an appointment this evening. I should be in a great mood tomorrow.
What?
Oh, good God. I swear to God, I'm going to go jump out of the attic window.
So what's up with you and Team Blowhole? You sure have been bringing him up lately. Is there a rekindle?
There's a slight rekindle and things are bueno.
Oh, I like bueno.
Yeah,
I like bueno.
But then the ironic part is that, you know, Spandex sent a text the other day in a Facebook message also trying to rekindle, but that hasn't been responded to.
Mm. Yeah. See, I don't know. I don't want to like, talk about this because I don't want to get in trouble.
You're so smart. Atta girl.
We don't want to get yelled at.
I think, though, that, like, I think naturally people like to be single in the summer and coupled up, like, in the winter. So I have a theory that, like, people are supposed to be sexy and single in the summertime. And mm-hmm. if you can stand the test of time, then you deserve to have your snuggle cuddle buddy in the winter for Christmas and New Year. Because I think that people always just naturally kind of couple up in the wintertime. And it's weird, but it's always true. It's like people always want to have a date during Christmas and, like, Valentine's Day. But
right.
don't mind being single in the summertime. Like, have you ever noticed that?
Well, I always thought it was the opposite, where people wouldn't want to be with anyone near Christmas or Valentine's Day, because then you got to spend money on them.
No, that's how men think. That's not how women think.
Oh. So you want to be coupled up right now because it's kind of chilly outside?
Well, no, actually the opposite. It's about to be summer. Like, my body's right and tight, and I'm ready to show it off. Like, you know, I'm not even trying to, you're not trying to bring sand to the beach. Have a summertime, man. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm messing it all up.
Is there ever going to be a day Katrina Johnson's going to want to settle down and just be in love?
Listen, there's nothing wrong with being in love, but why I got to settle down, too?
Oh, because that's the respectful thing to do. If someone is in love with you and you're in love with them, then don't you want to just focus on that?
Listen, someone's always in love with me. I'm sorry. It's a fact. Do I want to focus on them? No.
I get that,
but I'm saying when you find that person that, well, obviously you haven't found that person yet, but when you find that person that you love equally, you know, do you ever think there'll be a day that you're going to be like, it's not bringing sand to the beach because I got the whole sand castle?
Here's the thing. I'm not looking, so I'm happy. And I think that's pretty much as good as it gets with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to get married, and I don't really want to have babies. So, you know, that's not really my thing. So for me, if you've got me madly in love with you, pretty much as good as it's going to get is I don't want to be with anybody else. You got me. I don't really want to get married, so pretty much that's as good as it gets. Like, congratulations, conquered. You're welcome. Like, good job. That's as good as it gets. I'm sorry. You're not going to get me down on one knee. And if you get down on one knee, I'm just going to pull your ass back up and say, stand up, stupid.
Even if there's something shiny and sparkling waiting for you?
I don't think so. Honestly, I think the only way I would get married is if I'm a billionaire or a multi-millionaire. If I know that I am okay no matter what, then, you know, maybe. Because I think the idea of marriage is dumb unless you're going to have kids. I don't want to have kids, so I don't think it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can give myself a Kim Kardashian ridiculously stupid wedding, then maybe I would actually consider getting married. You know, if I'm not going to go into debt and I'm going to do it right, then, you know, maybe I'll do it. If I know that we're okay enough to take care of our whole families, both of them combined, then I would consider it. Maybe. But, you know, right now, not at all. And even if I could afford a Kim Kardashian wedding, I still don't think I would do that. Like, and I'm lavish and I'm ridiculous and I love caviar and champagne and spending money on stupid shit, but I still don't think I could do that. Maybe I would take all my friends on a cruise, you know, friends and family on a cruise or a vacation of some sort, but I still wouldn't do like a, you know, multi-million-dollar wedding. I just think that's a waste.
Right. So what about like having your best friend, Daisy, she's happily married, has been married for a long time, and then you have another friend who's getting married. You never get that bug?
Never. I have a few friends that are getting married now. Two of my female All That co-stars are engaged right now and planning their weddings, and I'm in both of those weddings, and I'm in three weddings in Vegas, and I just, I honestly don't agree with all of the stuff. I think it's stupid. But because I love them, I'll participate in all of it. You know, I'll clear my schedule. I'll spend a lot of money. I'll give emotional support. I'll go to stupid meetings and parties that I don't believe in. But I believe in it because it makes them happy, and they buy into that stupid dream. So then I'll buy into it, too, on their behalf. Fine. You know, I'll participate,
oh,
but I really
my God.
Don't want to hate myself.
I know. She's so positive, isn't she?
Like, kind of an asshole.
I am a dick. I think it's a waste of money. But, I mean, if that's what they want to do and they want their day in the limelight, which I think is what it's about for the bride, and I think that's dumb because we've already all been in the limelight. Like, but whatever. If that's what you've been taught and that's what you want, good for you. Go ahead. I'll be there for you. In every way possible. I'll tell off your in-laws eloquently, beautifully. I'll find you a better deal at a wedding banquet hall or whatever. I'll throw you a kick-ass bachelorette party. And I'll go to all that other stupid shit. And I'll smile and I'll entertain everyone and I'll pay for it. And I'll do everything I could possibly do. Because I'll be supportive and loving because I love them. But I still don't love all of the ceremony attached to it.
So tell me, whatever happened with your friend who got the mean letter that you read to us yesterday, or was it the day
they
before?
They are going to confront the family, but they're waiting a few more days till they cool off.
Wow.
So
they're
going to tell them, they're going to say they're having the wedding for sure in L.A. And if you guys want to come, you're invited, you're in the wedding, whatever. But we're not going to deal with any of that. Clearly, you're not supportive, so we're not going to waste your time or our time.
Wow.
So
and
I'm
glad agree
it's
with
a
that
united
completely.
Front, because sometimes when you have family drama, it's hard to, you know, luckily it sounds like they're a united front, and they're going to stick together on this.
They are very united, and they definitely stick together, which is why I think they're actually going to work. And I think they're definitely going to have babies, so I think marriage for them is a good idea. But,
right.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if I would want to do it for me.
I need them to send that email that you wrote, because your response to that was fabulous.
Yeah, I haven't finished it, actually, but as soon as I finish it, I'll read it. I'll read it on air.
Oh, dear.
I'm kind of good at that stuff. Like, I enjoy it. Here's the thing, you know, as far as my friends go, I might not agree with everything they say and do all the time, but I'll love them and support them because they're my friends. But, you know, I'll say what I want to say about them, and in my eyes, it's true, and I'll say it to their face. But if anybody else tries to say something, they're going to die. Like, they will die. That's it. Like, I'm allowed to say what I want to say because we're basically sisters and everything is coming from a true place. But if someone else, an in-law or some other family member or anybody off the street or anyone in life tries to hit on them or not hit on them, like tries to hit them or tear them down, they're going to have to deal with me.
So is that the way you roll, Jeffrey, in friendship? Like,
yes.
You can tell your friends about themselves because obviously you're their friend, you're close, you're coming from love. But if, you know, someone else talks about them, you're ready to scrap.
Yes. Can I tell you my experience with Jeffrey?
Yeah.
Anytime it comes to dating someone, Jeffrey says this, listen, now, he took you to a nice dinner, he treated you right, I like that, but you tell him right now, if he ever makes you cry, he's going to have to deal with me. I'm going to kill him. And that's the gist of it. Like, he likes them as long as they behave, and if they don't behave, he's going to shoot them down.
Kind
of.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So give us an example of that.
Okay, so what had happened was... so there's this radio show that I've got, and...
No,
this is not going to work. I was going to use the story about how I get yelled at when I don't have nothing to say, but it's not going to work. just kidding. Love you. I don't know how to fit that in. No, like, I guess I just get annoyed. Well, I tend to be overspoken and piss my friends off because I tell them my opinion way too much. And probably tell them how they're stupid more than they want to know. But then if somebody fucks with them, I'll cut you.
Yep.
You know,
it's nice.
Like...
it's nice to know that you got respect.
Yeah, like my big-titted friend, you know, she constantly goes through it with her friend. And he pisses me off, and I'll just be a dick. Like, I'm, like, absolutely horrible. Like, I'll tell him he's a fucking idiot. I hate his guts. He should die. You know, I mean, I just really reiterate the thing she says. But, you know, so I guess I'm kind of evil. But I'm getting to a point, though, where I'm like, if you're dumb enough to keep going back, you deserve what you get. No, I'm fine with Team Blowhole, really. See, and the other thing, no, really, I am. Just kidding. I just saw that moment, I had to take it.
Yeah.
What happened to Karen now? Did she get quiet? Did I make her mad? Did she hang
up on
me
too? She's not trying to have you address the situation with her. So she's smart and done muted herself.
Why do I make everybody hang up from the radio show?
I didn't hang up. I was listening to your story, moron.
Oh, now I'm a moron?
Yeah.
That's not very nice.
Well, Karen doesn't really get to see that side of you because nobody's dumb enough to ever try and treat her wrong, and her man is great. So... that's why she was asking.
No, I think Karen knows there was a situation where I went to bat for her.
Well, I know you would, but I'm saying in her home life, like, you don't really have to do that because...
Oh, well, no, because she's got a great guy who
yeah,
I love
it
when
like an
she
and you
yeah.
Love it.
And here's the best part. This is why I loved her, because if there was like one day I was having a bad day or something, I don't remember what the hell, it might have been one of the days I had the migraine,
oh,
and she was
Lord.
Like, sing for Jeffy, and she made him sing. I was like, that's watching my motherfucking
day.
Bitch.
I can't, but this is the thing, I can't take any credit on that because I literally caught him on a good day. Like, I was shocked. I was like, oh, my God, he actually did it. He, like, did a run and everything for you, remember?
Mm-hmm.
He gave it to him. He made him moist, I'm sure.
Oh,
I love
absolutely. Like, I don't know what it is about me. If you can sing, play guitar, like, I'm just enthused. Like, I'm just... I'll sit there forever and listen.
But don't sing about Jeffrey Mr. James, because people who have written songs about Jeffrey in the past, he doesn't feel that way.
They
about.
End up with herpes. That's all I'm going to say. And it wasn't from me. But I'm just saying their life mm-hmm. tends to go downhill after
oh,
the...
Lord.
But just, see, the difference is James and I is not having a love affair. So
that's
it's
true.
All good.
Yeah.
They're
you and James are
for,
definitely
man.
Not having a love affair.
No. No, he's not, you know, he's not my type. He doesn't make enough money. I'm just playing, kind of.
Thank you. You're
enough.
So nice. Thanks.
Oh, poor Jamesy. Well, it's because Jeffrey's too cheap to pay Jamesy what he deserves. I'm just saying.
Right.
Okay, I don't understand why it makes me a bad person. Because I've changed, and I've just decided that, and Katrina, I think I told Karen this, but I was having a conversation with somebody this weekend or whatever, and I was like, a life, a mediocrity, fuck, now I can't even
mediocrity,
speak.
Mediocrity, yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. It's not okay. Like, no. Give me the money.
I think he even blew out you. The other day.
He said he borrowed it out of the page. He's like, borrowed the page from Katrina.
I texted him that, and he wrote back, bitch.
No, I think he was saying it on air or something.
And then he wrote that shit down and used it.
I did. Well, because I'm just like, you know what? This bitch has got a point.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not fucking just okay with getting by. I'm not okay
nope.
with settling. And, like,
right?
you know, just everything that kind of hit me, like, over the weekend or last the end of last week, I was watching that show and I was, like, trying to call Karen at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning when I time, like, girl, I'm having an epiphany. Like,
he's like, so, there's a mandatory meeting in 2 weeks. We need to get the team on board. And if people don't
that.
Show up, then it's going to tell us where they are. It's going to tell us if they can't figure it out in 2 weeks. It's going to tell us how serious they are. And they need to be more serious. We need to, you know, we need to get on board. We could make this happen. Like, he was, I was like,
he was on fire.
Wow.
Yep.
I love
you know
him,
what
though,
it is?
Because I was like, there he go, Jeffrey.
Watch House of Cards, and you'll feel that way too. But I'm saying, but then like, I felt like an asshole because I really want the meeting to be like, rally the troops, let's get it together.
Right.
But at the same time, if you don't show up, you're fucking fired. But I say that with love. You know, I want it to be a positive experience, but I also want people to know if you can't clear your schedule in 2 weeks, then you got to get the fuck out. Like, I ain't got time for you.
Well, I just think it shows, like, we had someone who guest hosted. And then, lovely person.
Let's
and
just call
they
the situation
really...
out. If it's a spade, it's a spade. And Shauna showed up for Chick Chat, and then bitch didn't show up last night and forgot. Well, I'm sorry. Thank you for trying out, but you are the winkest link. Bye-bye. I say that with love. I still love her, but, like, I don't have room for that kind of shit anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, the thing is we're working so hard to get Chick Chat and get the right cast and find the right chemistry. And the thing is that we really want someone who really wants to do it. So if you don't really want to do it, or if you kind of want to play around, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can do that, and it's kind of a hobby for you, then, you know, that's fine. But we really actually want someone who's going to be serious, just as serious as the girls that are there, and we're really going to try to work hard on putting together a quality show, because when the train starts taking off and we start moving onward and upward, then we can't have a caboose that's not going to be on point. We need to make sure when
that the show
is
on point.
Keep it right, keep it tight.
Well, really, exactly. It's just coming down to money for me, and I realize that I have never been a very good leader when it comes to this. I started this and then kind of just was like, okay, everybody else deal with it because I can't be bothered. Or I'd do it for a day and then not follow through or whatever. And it's just not okay anymore. Like, I'm the one that fucking came up with this shit. Like, I need to see it through. And if I want to make money off this, then I guess I got shit to do, don't I?
Yeah.
Amen.
But that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. And that's a beautiful epiphany. And it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, we're going to try out another co-host. And we're, but that's the thing. When he said, I'm doing a meeting, I'm giving everyone 2 weeks. If people can't figure out how to get to the meeting, maybe we shouldn't deal with them anymore. I think it's fair.
Well, it's, I just don't feel that maybe
out of all the time we've had this.
It's not the right place. Like, I realized, like, how much time I put into the show
mm-hmm.
every day in the beginning. You know, I put like 30 to 40 hours a week on top of my normal job into like planning
yep.
the show and doing stuff in the beginning with Mike, trying to get this off the ground, trying to book guests. And, you know, I'm happy that everybody's here. I never thought that there would be 17 people, you know, working for Uncensored
Amazing.
Radio.
Mm-hmm.
I never would have thought any of that would happen. And I feel like everybody's here for a reason. And everybody
yep.
that's here is talented. And I love
yeah.
everybody that's here. And even though I don't know some of them as well as I'd like to, you know, I know that they're talented. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. And I feel like you want to be here. So if we want to be here, let's really be here. And let's get it to the top so we can get paid. Because, frankly, I want to go on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And help me
frankly,
help you make money.
We want to quit the day jobs and just do Uncensored Radio. We just want
right,
to be on,
like,
all, we be on Uncensored Radio and play around and have fun and have great conversations like this one.
Yeah, and that would be great. But, like, at the end of the day, like, this is about making money. Like, this was started to
yeah.
be a business and started to make money. So if we're not here to make money, then I'm going to just shut the shit off tomorrow because why am I spending all this money every month to pay for a show that I'm not going nowhere with? Like, it's no.
I'm
no.
okay to make money. That's okay.
I'm okay
to move.
Make money.
It's now. Well, you got to be dedicated, bitch. You can't be 5 minutes late.
Uh-oh. At least I was soberish.
Soberish, this bitch.
I should have been. I downed 4 beers and a martini before calling in. But
I'm sorry. You are a fucking lie. You drink a beer on purpose?
Four?
You drink beer?
Not really. It's raspberry ale from Belgium. It's the only ale that I will consume, and it's delicious. It tastes like fruit punch.
This bitch.
I know. I'm
yeah.
like, hmm.
Because
she's been hanging out Team Blowhole. He's got her drinking beer now.
That's not accurate at all. what happened was, I was at job interviews all day because I done walked out on my job through a bitch quit. Well, so I was at job interviews all day, and they were asking me questions about, like, stuff that I didn't really know. Like, they said, what's the ingredients in a Negroni? And I knew what it was, but I forgot, so I bombed that question. Then they said, what are 2 grapes in a Bordeaux wine? Anybody?
I'm kidding. Are you kidding? I drink wine out of a gallon jug.
Bordeaux wine.
So I said Bordeaux and Cabernet. those are actually both grapes. I don't know if they're both in Bordeaux, but whatever.
Right.
And then, like, a bunch of other stuff. So I decided to go to an alcohol establishment that had all of the stuff, and I figured out what it was. They asked me what was in a Vespar. And I said, oh, a Vespar, that's something for old men. And they're like, yeah, what's in it? And I go, well, it's a cute little scooter, and they look old, and they go 40 miles an hour, and you don't need a driver's license, and my dad has one. That's
Isn't
a Vespa.
That a Vespa? That's a
yes.
Vespa.
I
was hoping to distract them with shiny objects and have them laugh and forget the question, and it worked.
It's very unfair for them to ask you, I think, mixed drink recipes, because wherever you go, they're all different.
Right.
Like, what may be a Vesper to you could be, you know, a boy toy.
You know
what
it is,
like,
though? Bartending has gotten so, like, so high-tech. Like, you're a mixologist. And, like,
well,
people
yeah,
want you to be a chemist.
They do, because this one,
they wanted, it was a crazy job that kind of only exists in Vegas. They wanted you to be a banquet salesperson, which is awesome because you get to take people out to fancy-ass dinners and entertain them and convince them to have their parties in your venue. So obviously amazing. I'm perfect for that part. But then you also have to be well-versed in liquors and alcohol around the world, which I am because I've actually been everywhere, so I can actually relate to people from everywhere. But, you know, that's why they're asking me a Negroni and how you make it and what's in it and who drinks it and blah, blah, blah. And at the time, I drew a blank. I had a total brain fart, but I believe that it's Campari and gin with a splash of soda and a little slice of orange because Campari, it's like a kind of an older thing. It's an aperitif. It's like for older people usually or like Italians, Europeans, big over there. So if I had a group of them, then, you know, I would take them to go hear Frank Sinatra, eat Italian, and drink that. So, like, that part I knew, and I can bullshit my way through, but I forgot the actual ingredients. I was like, oh, you know, it's an aperitif, starts with a C, I drink them in Italy, But, I mean, it was good enough. They offered me the job, but it was difficult, and so I went to go try and research the extra stuff to figure out what I missed, because if I decide to take this job, it's awesome because it's part party planner, which I'm perfect at.
Yeah.
Party director, so I actually throw the party, which I'm good at, and then party sales, so that means you just take people out and wine them and dine them and entertain them. I'm good at that. So I wanted it, but it's this crazy extensive training for like weeks and weeks and weeks, and you have to learn all kind of crazy culinary stuff and recipes and stuff about, I don't know, fancy fish and food and stuff, and I don't know. I'm like, listen, I know a lot about caviar, took a class in that, and I know how to drink, took a class in that. I know how to party, wrote a book on that, so do what you will.
Right.
So, oh, my God.
So then, I mean, I think I got it. And then they offered me the job. Then they asked me, you know, well, what do you order when you go out? And I'm like, well, that's a loaded question. That depends. They're like, what do you mean it depends? What's your favorite champagne? I'm like, well, it depends. Am I paying for it? Am I by myself? Because if I'm by myself, then I want Moët Ice Imperial. It's amazing. It's a demi-sec. It's $75 a bottle if you can find it. If you can't find it, well, then you're screwed. But if I'm not paying for it, then I want Perrier Jouet Rosé Magnum, and you're looking at $10,000 a bottle. So it depends on who's paying. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we like
you. She is not a cheap date.
No. And they're like, what about red wine? And I'm like, well, who am I with? It depends. They're like, okay, you're with the president of France. I'm like, in that case, I want Chateau Petrus 1969. I go, you can either buy me a car or you can buy me that wine. Either way, I'm happy. They're like, okay. I go in and if I'm being nice, I'll take a bottle of Opus. They're like, oh, that's nice. I'm like, yeah, that's me being nice. They're like, okay, well, you're perfect. You know,
she sounds pretty perfect
I'm
for the job.
Stuff. Like, I could do expensive all day. I'm good at that. But if you want me to, like, break it down like a chef or a chemist or a bartender, then I probably can't do that. But I'll fake it till I make it, best believe. So
there you go.
Well,
you know what to order then.
I love doing the shot tray, but I hated bartending because if I don't like it, I don't know how to make it. And I hate gin. I, you know, like there's a lot of liquor I don't like. So I'm like, no. And I can't remember. Like somebody, it was horrible. When they were like, can I get a sex on the beach? And I'm like, I'm like, I know it's got, I think it's there's some orange juice in there, something red. It was bad. I'm like,
bad.
How about a Labatt Blue? Like, it was so bad. I
what
love, you know,
that?
Bartending. I can
blue?
Do dykes all day because, you know, it's like Coors Light and shit. You know, it's easy. And then you get the gays, and they're like, I want this and that. I'm like, no. No. Like, there's somebody in the chat room. They're like, she's naming off all this fancy shit. And they're like, how about a dirty Mexican? I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, God.
I dated one of those. It was great. He still called me the Power Ranger.
You're going to piss Karen off.
She ain't pissing me off because she ain't talking about me. Oh, man. You guys, we've got 60 seconds. What's the final thought of this show?
We're crazy. I'm in the cage. I got to go.
And we got your back. Oh. Yeah, we got your back. Katrina can order you an amazing drink and make you one at the same time.
It'll be expensive. It'll be expensive.
Yeah. She'll break your wallet if you take her out.
Good night, everybody.
Everybody. Great show, guys.